Goedemorgen, good morning. I'm starting two languages. I don't know, we have international people in the audience. Okay, so then we do it in English. If you expected Neno here on stage, I'm sorry to say that he's ill and apologies. So he had to cancel and couldn't join us for the conference. My name is Gerrit van der Pol. I work for Microsoft in the Netherlands, and I'm focused on Visual Studio, Team Foundation Server, the adoption of our software development lifecycle solution, or our ALM solution, with our Dutch customers and partners. So today we're going to talk about Team Foundation Server in the cloud, of as we call it these days, Visual Studio Online. So who of you already has an account on Visual Studio Online? Okay, very good. So this is a level 200 talk, and I just want to give you a brief overview of what is in the solution, what you can do with it. We will cover features from, let's say, the product backlog to source control to continuous deployment to test case management and also application insight. Visual Studio Online has a lot to offer, and there's a lot which is cooking in the labs. And probably within a month from now, we will learn a lot about what we're going to add to Visual Studio Online. But let's briefly go over a few of the slides. So I'll cover what is VSO and what's in it for you. Using a lot of demos, because it's probably much better to show it than use PowerPoints. Briefly, let's take a look at the journey from way back, let's say the 2005-2008 timeline, when we had an on-premise product, Visual Studio, and how that has transformed to a on-premise product and also a cloud solution. People probably have all used the various flavors which are on the slide, and we're still, let's say, investing a lot in the on-premise version of TFS, Team Foundation Server. But these days we have switched over, let's say, the cadence. The developer team is focusing currently in 3-week sprints on adding value to the cloud first. And in monthly, quarterly updates, we will move those, let's say, significant new features and updates and all that stuff into an update pack, which is sent out to our customers which are using TFS on-premise. Now, if you look at what has changed, is that in 2011, Team Foundation Service, as it was then called, was introduced. So we are already 3 years that the service is up and running. And you have to keep in mind that this was a complete shift for the team developing the product. They were experienced in developing a product and then shipping a CD or an image to MSDN or the DVD to every other subscriber worldwide, and customers started installing, deploying the solution in their own data network. With the introduction of Team Foundation Servers, all of a sudden they had a solution which was up and running 24 hours a day, and they had to maintain, let's say, that product. And you probably, people are, let's say, in a continuous delivery practice or moving into a practice like that, you experience the same mind shift. You have to turn things around. It's not like you have a time and a view for 2 years that you're working on the product. You have to respond and act quickly when there are issues. You have to think differently about deploying your solution. So this is for the team, let's say, a huge experience. And we will see later on that there is, of course, a lot of added value for you as a customer of this service. But for the Microsoft team behind it, the product team, it gives them an extremely amount of feedback and value into their own product. So public preview, June 2012. In October, it was released, and let's say we had a big announcement in November last year when Visual Studio 2013 was launched, and the big moment, let's say, last week at the Build conference, the product went with general availability, which is, let's say, a very big thing. The service is now up and running with service level agreements and all that stuff, and what that means I will explain a little bit more. And we have just a few more days for people who are on an evaluator account that things will switch over to the real user plans. So Visual Studio is up and running online, and you can start collaborating with your team and create projects online. And if you compare it, the cloud version with the on-premise version, you'll see that there are a lot of significant feature overlap. Of course, you will expect that both products behave and do the same, and they're actually one product. But there are a few things which are present in the cloud version which are not yet maybe present in the on-premise version, or you have functionality which is present in the on-premise version, which is not made it yet to the cloud. But source control, Visual Studio Online was the first, let's say, team foundation server which was getting the Git support. So you are able to choose between centralized version control, the traditional team foundation server way of doing things, or you could use decentralized version control with Git. There's agile planning in the product. Both versions have it. Team Foundation server in the cloud moves much faster. Every 3 weeks, we add new features to the product. And then you have to wait a little bit for the next update pack when things will land in the on-premise product. You have the team rooms. The various hubs, so source control, work, build, test, all those hubs are available in both versions. The feedback management and, of course, build and continuous integration. And what you see is that it can create really interesting scenarios. People who have a complete switched over to an online solution, they can consume all the services from the cloud, be very elastic, so you can, let's say, expand your build infrastructure when needed, or you do maybe, let's say, use the load testing infrastructure. But you can also mix and match with an hybrid solution with things running on-premise and add value with things in the cloud. And there are other cloud-based scenarios which makes it even more interesting. Consider, for example, moving your developer workspace to the cloud, like running Visual Studio in a virtual machine hosted on Windows Azure. You're much more flexible in that way. You can add power to your machine. For example, if you're a SharePoint developer, you will be familiar that it requests extremely performant hardware to have a development workspace locally. If you move that to the cloud, you can add more power and make longer use of the same hardware you have. That's one example. You can, of course, do the same thing for test case management. Other things you can do is that you can have a build infrastructure which is running locally, but still have your Team Foundation server up in the cloud. Why? Maybe because your build demands extra steps or extra functionality which is not yet available in the cloud infrastructure. But you can configure that relatively easy and let's say do it the way you want. So that's basically the how the products are on par. So if you look at the components, and we will touch on each of them during the demo today, this is what currently is in Visual Studio Online. Now, people probably are going to use it within their organization. And you have noticed that currently you create an account, and the account is tied into a Windows account, your Hotmail.com of your Outlook.com account. And you then start adding members to your account, and then you can start collaborating. Organizations demand maybe a richer organizational view on the projects and the accounts. Wait a little longer, not too long, but that's like the kind of enterprise-ready features you can expect for the future. So if you're a larger organization and you want to have control over all the projects which are running on visualstudio.com, then you're able to more in a sense with Active Directory manage, let's say, which users are in charge of specific projects, or which accounts are a part of your domain, your organizational accounts. Okay, so why Visual Studio Online? It's real easy to set up. Think about if you have to, if you're starting a new project and you have to demand resources from your IT department, and they need to set up a server, or maybe there is already a Team Foundation server available in your own in your own environment, but still you might have to go through the, let's say, the steps, the procedures to request a new project, onboard new members. All the build infrastructure had to be set up. This can be done within a few minutes. Those are real advantages. Be up and running immediately. Consider the upgrade pain you might have with, let's say, the moving from TFS 2005 to 2008 to 2010, 2012, and now 2013. So you're now putting that in the hands of the product team. They will keep your product up to date, and you will always use the latest and the greatest bits which are available. That is, of course, a choice, but it makes you also very flexible and adaptable to, let's say, new functionality. It's very easy if you have to onboard external people, or you're working in a cross collaboration with maybe a third party company working on the solution. Another scenario where it's much easier to set up, well, because making your on-premise Team Foundation server accessible from the outside is always a challenge within a lot of companies. So you see there are, besides the functionality, a lot of advantages of moving to Visual Studio Online. So what are some of the advantages for the Microsoft team itself? Basically, they now are able to ship features much faster to you and get immediate feedback from their customers. We always had beta programs in the past, community technology previews. We had in various versions, and we still have, let's say, for the updates also CTPs available. But there are very few people who take the time to provide feedback to the team. People are always very willing to download the latest bits and install them and look at it, but providing feedback to the team about what is valuable or not, that's, let's say, a very few people who are actually doing that. when we're now in a place that we can add new features to the product, provide those features maybe first to a specific subset of customers to try it out, and then see how people respond to it. We have a much better build, learn, measure experience. What you have, for example, is that one of the things we experienced in the beginning is that we had a new dialogue to create a new project in the account. The first statistics showed that 30% of the people who created an account created a new project. Only 30%. So we looked at the user experience of creating a new account, and we improved that user experience. And immediately within the next sprint, we saw that the percentage moved up to 50%. So the team gets really valuable feedback about the user experience in the product also. And as an on-premise user, you get those same advantages as well. So this is definitely something the team makes much use of. Okay, a little bit of think of it at sales, but what do we need to have to start using that? And I know I'm working with customers in the field, explaining them about Visual Studio and TFS. And if there's one thing which is complicated and too complex, it's the licensing rules. We have a 40-page white paper explaining the licensing structure of Visual Studio and MSDN. So I know it can be complicated. But think of it that for Visual Studio Online, the first 5 users of an account are free. Everything on top of that, you can have either one of those new user plans. The advantage is that you activate them and you buy them, or you subscribe to them when you need. And when you no longer need them, you just cancel them. So if you need extra people on your team, and they're only there for maybe a couple of months, you can have, let's say, a couple of user plans for only a couple of months. And then reduce, let's say, the number of members on the account. For the other thing, and that's real, let's say, look at the value of your MSDN subscription, you'll see that every user with a Visual Studio which has an active MSDN account, they have free access to the Visual Studio online and create an account. So take a look. If you haven't done it already, go to your MSDN portal and activate, let's say, 2 things which are really important. Is that one is create an account and activate it, so sign up your MSDN subscription to the account. And the other thing is, which I would also recommend, is take a look at Microsoft Azure. Sorry, we now call it Microsoft Azure. So start using your features and the benefits from your MSDN account. Depending on the level of MSDN which you have, there is $50, $100, or $150 each month which you get out of MSDN benefits for Windows Azure, for Microsoft Azure. So you can deploy virtual machines, you can consume virtual machines. And I can tell you, $100, you can do a lot within a month. So, few of the extra things which are added to Visual Studio Online, which is still in call it beta phase. One of them is Application Insights, and we will take a look at it later during the demo. People are familiar with application monitoring, and maybe within your organization you have a product like System Center, which can really focus on the application and monitoring it during its operational uptime. Presents you with, let's say, more details from inside the application. And we'll see that today it's already very easy to set up your projects to make use of Application Insight. You hardly have to think about it. You can install the integration in Visual Studio Online, create a new project, and your project is set up for Application Insight. That means it's instrumented to provide information to the service. And then you can go to the dashboard and explore the statistics of your application. So think about the usage statistics of your application from a user point of view. Where are my users coming from? What are the users doing? Which pages are most frequently visited? Look at the performance. Look at, let's say, what kind of browsers are used. All that statistics is coming together in one dashboard. And it gives you valuable insight how your application is doing. So that's basically a service which is in beta, which is also available on Visual Studio Online. Let's take a look at what you can do. So for most, I saw a lot of hands raising their hands when it came to, let's see if I can. I'm hoping I'm not screwing up the video now, but anyway, this is the Visual Studio Online landing page. From here, you can explore the documentation and the tutorials and whatever we have published around Visual Studio Online. But you can also, when you have created your account, move to your account page. You can also do it from Visual Studio internally. And you find that from here, let's say which account you own and which account you're a member of. Because you can be part of, at least at the moment, this is how the rules are, you can be a member of a lot of accounts also outside of your organization. Especially in third-party collaboration, this is very powerful. And again, thinking about licensing things with TFS on-premise, you had these things like a TFS CAL, the client access license. This is something which is in the cloud. It's more subscription-based. So you don't have to worry about, let's say, CALs when you are dealing with a project which is owned by somebody else. Currently, that is very much possible. So let me move over to my account. And let's hope that the internet is willing and cooperating. So you see this familiar setup, the home page. I deliberately kept all the advertisement, I want to do this and explain me how to do this on this page. But you can turn it off if you want. You're in control of your dashboard. And you see that we have a view on our projects. We can go to our team rooms. We can try out new services like the Application Insight. And you'll see all the information is coming together here. So let's create a new project. And call this Tech Days 2014. I'll use the Scrum template and I'll go for Team Foundation Server Control, Version Control. Okay, so the project is created. And in a minute, then we can, move over to the project. While this is running, make time to explore, especially also this page every now and then. You have a section like news. You can see, the items which are added to the service each three weekly sprint. And if you want to be is this feature also available in the on-premise product, there is a features timeline here which you can visit, and you'll see all the sprints listed with, let's say, the high level features. You can drill down into the blocks of Brian Harry and Björn Björk, sorry, Adam Björk, then they will explain a lot about what the feature is behind. And over here, you'll see if it's on-premise available as well. Very valuable when it's planned or when it's part of an update pack. Okay, so let's see if my project is ready to go. So first thing of course, what you want to do is to set up your team members. Now, I'm a one-man band today, so I only have, let's say, one team member. But the other thing is that you probably want to configure your schedule. So what are we going to work on and on what sprints? So similar as with the on-premise product, you can select your dates, and let's go for 1 week sprints, and you'll see that if we do that for the, it already recognizes the length of the sprints which you have selected. Okay. Now, so that's all set up. So you can move over, define the length of your sprints, iteration, add your team members, configure the areas, and then you're ready to go. So set up. Let's take a look at how we can add some value and what this project is about. So let's move over to the backlog. And what you see over here is one of the hubs. So we're currently in the work hub. So the work hub is about your product backlog, your sprint backlog, and a feature which we added in 2013 called Agile Portfolio Management. So we added some additional abstraction layers, levels of backlog management to the product, which allow you to work on product backlog items or epic themes, which are shared by other teams. And other teams can really, let's say, create their value and work within their own product backlog. And then still, you contribute to the same epic team within your organization. That's presented over here as the features. So the features is one level we out of the box added to your product definition. If you want to have more on-premise product, you can add up to 5. When it comes to process customization, work item customization, those things will start to appear very soon. So which means that on the cloud version, we will be able to do the same things or comparable things when it comes to customization with regards to your work item types. So we have a product backlog, and let's add an item, explore. Explore the Visual Studio. Okay, so, and what you see with the various levels, that each has its board, but the board behaves differently on what kind of level you are. So currently we're at the product backlog. If I move to the board, then you get a Kanban style board. And this is about, let's say, approving your product backlog items. So the product owner, Scrum Master, whoever is in charge, he can, let's say, approve the items, and the team knows when they can start working on these things and include them in future sprints. If you look at the board within the sprint backlog, then you'll see later on that it behaves differently, but it still is a board. It's moving your tasks from to do to done. So you see that the board will provide you with different functionality depending on the level you're in. Okay, another thing which is interesting is, let's say, color coding. This is, let's say, very small features which you will see appearing in the sprints. How can we make, let's say, the items more visually appealing? Currently, you can define, let's say, different colors for your work item types. A bug is red, and we have tasks which have another color, and in this case, let's say, the product backlog items are blue. But you will also will get some capabilities to put, let's say, think of it like a sticker, like a label, like a pin on a card, which makes, let's say, it appear to you immediately. So those items, those typical features are very easy to add to a future sprint. So one thing also which is powerful and adds some value is that you can define tags. So I can say, okay, this is a tag days item, and you know what the functionality is like when you're looking at the blog posts. It knows how to, it's a very flexible way to categorize items. Work items queries can deal with tags. Inside Visual Studio, you can work with tags. Even in the office experience, you can work with tags. Another thing is, of course, you can define the way your efforts. So you know, for example, when you start doing your planning and you know the velocity of your team, that you'll see the items appearing and you know, for example, what the team can deal with for a next version of the sprint. So that's one thing. Adding an item to the sprint can be done in different ways, but you can drag and drop and make that item part of your sprint. Okay, so let's move to that place. So the thing you want to do, of course, there, without spending a lot of time, because probably a lot of people are familiar with that, with the on-premise product, you can do a breakdown now and move into the more, we are now inside the sprint, breakdown in task, what are we going to do, how are we going to implement this, and you have your planning sessions at the beginning of the sprint, and your post-its will start appearing on your digital board. And of course, what we can do over here is, of course, set up, we are explaining the Visual Studio experience, set up Visual Studio for this whole setup. I can define, okay, I need 2 hours. Think of it like that. We can create the initial project code. And check in, and also need some time. Okay, so you'll see that you can break down your activities, and you have a lot more PBIs in your actual sprint, but you get the idea. And what is interesting, of course, is that every view has its own few options and depends a little bit on what you're looking for. So whether you want to look at it from a point of view from I want to see what's assigned to a team member, or I want to take a work item view, like a product backlog item view, and group it like that. And it all depends on, again, in which backlog you're currently looking at. Okay, one other thing. Of course, when start doing your sprint planning is, of course, how much capacity do you have from within the team? So we have today 8 hours of capacity for the tech days. Friday is a day off, so we can For those lucky enough, Goede Vrijdag. Okay, so you can spend your, let's save this. You can define, let's say, the details of your sprint, and you see that the details also start appearing on the right side when it comes to how much capacity is still remaining. Okay, let's move to the let's move to Visual Studio and start some adding some code. Now, of course, you can go to Visual Studio and start it up and select Visual Studio from there, but it's relatively easy to do it from here, because then Visual Studio will already be set up for you to look at the right project in TFS. So you'll see that I don't have to open Team Explorer and go to the project and connect to the project from the list things. You immediately have the right project for you to use. You can configure your workspace. So, okay, I want to move and have a workspace like this. Okay, fine with that. And Visual Studio is ready to go. Another thing which is a very small thing, and which has been added to 2013, but which makes life a little bit easier, is that within Team Explorer you see that it also shows the solutions which part of your workspace. Yes, I can go to File, New Project, and then navigate to the folder where I want to store my project and hope that it's in the right workspace. But look at the actions with you over there. You have new and open. And again, new and open assists you with creating a project, and you already see that my location is conform my defined workspace. So it already looks at my defined TechDays 2013-14 workspace, which I defined locally. Again, makes it very easy. For those of you, let's say, who want to know a lot more about Visual Studio and tips and tricks, I have a session later today. But sometimes you have, for example, temporary project. It depends on how Visual Studio is configured. But also, some people say, okay, I see Git over there, and that's possible, because when you start a new project and it's not set up yet, you get a dialogue and it asks you, do you want TFS version control or you want Git? And you can make that change permanent, which makes it, let's say, the dialogue looks a little bit different. Some people are confused by that because they don't see what's explained in a tutorial, but that is what it is. Okay, so let me, and again, this is a very powerful dialogue. And what it does is unbelievable. So we are going to create a MVC project. I can add unit test if I want, but this over here is so much and so flexible and powerful. You create from here your remote resources. I can either select right now that it's a website or I want to deploy to a virtual machine, which is also very handy. And you can, let's say, manage your subscriptions over here. And then I go OK. And if you're not connected, I'm already connected to Windows Azure. The dialog pops up, which you need to sign up. Sign into your Windows Azure account for one time during your session. Now, and then you get this few questions which you need to go through. So we're going to host our site in Western Europe. I need a database, and I'm going to specify. And let's see if we are lucky enough to get a lot of things are going to start happening over here, because it's going to publish a lot of the settings to Windows Azure. And yes, from that point on, you can make changes within Visual Studio and deploy your changes immediately to your Windows Azure website. But you'll see that there is much more value by taking the route through Visual Studio Online. So, of course, you have more than one team member working on your project. You need to consolidate the changes. You want to trigger a build and eventually have the build also automatically deployed to your website. So I can do that right now. So our website is 11153. And let's publish this website, validate my connection. And I'll let's hope everything works out okay. And we have a running website. Now, for those of you who do not believe this is running on Windows Azure, we can go to the portal. Let me explain where you can, if you do not know the URL, how easy it is if you have an MSDN account to go to the portal. So you go to, you move to your MSDN benefits page, and there are all the activities which you can do. And let me okay, so and what you see over here are, let's say, the web application which we've deployed. It's a website, it's up and running. I can look at the details, so I can navigate to its specific page and, for example, go to the dashboard. And from here, I see all kinds of statistics coming in. I can have the URL of the site over here, and it's the same as this one. So it's the web application 11153, and you'll see how easy it is to set up. So that only took me a few clicks, no programming at all, and we're set up with the initial code. So let's check in this code into Visual Studio Online. One thing which I'll go into in more detail later on during the demo is, while this project has been created, and I hope it's readable in the back, but you'll see also a couple of items added here, like the applicationinsights.config. I will go into detail in some of the pages, but also the pages have been instrumented with very small pieces of, let's say, scripts, which makes your site discoverable, providing information back to the application insight service. If you do not want that, you can turn it off, but keep in mind that the integration, it provides you also within Visual Studio all kinds of features to go directly to the Application Insights portal. Okay, so we need to check in. I'll move over to my Team Explorer. Now, I did not do this before, but of course it would be very handy to look at my page to see my work. Now, for those of you remembering that if I navigate to the portal and I go to the backlog, that I have an activity which was called Set Up Visual Studio. And it was not assigned to somebody. So let's assign that to me and see if, let's say, it also starts appearing within Visual Studio. Okay, so I can, of course, drag this to in-progress work. In this way, let's say, Visual Studio and Team Explorer keep track on what you are doing, and the work item association with, let's say, the code you've delivered, or maybe you have fixed a bug or something like that, everything will be contained and traceability will be done for you automatically. So it's just a small step, but it makes life very worthwhile after that. So we have a piece of code which we have a lot of changes. So let's go to the pending changes. Already on 2013, Visual Studio? People on 2012 still? Okay. One of the small things, but maybe a motivator to move to 2013. These small things over here, the undock items. So pending changes and a few of the views have been, let's say, have gotten this item, this feature, which makes it possible to undock them from Team Explorer and have them, let's say, side by side with the functionality. A lot of people prefer it that way. Maybe the old, let's say, Visual Studio 2010 experience, but you can do both. If you do not, if you want it like this, okay. But this is one of those small things which are very valuable. Let's check in the code. Okay. This is, I hope, depending on the, and it's not going okay. Yes, and I will switch over to the cloud in a minute. So you see that my my work item has been created, and my change set has been created and checked in. And I can now take a look at the portal. And you'll see that, let's say, from here, I have a view on all the code which has been created. And look at the rich functionality which you already have within the browser. So you can start exploring your code online in the browser. You have the history on the top. So you have a couple of tabs over here. So when people start making changes to the code, you know exactly the history, the audit trail, and you have compare functionality again. And again, here you have full screen similar icons which give you a very similar experience as in Visual Studio. So code is checked in, and we're ready to start developing or adding a build definition. Now let's start with a simple build definition and then change into a continuous deployment mode. Who is already doing something with continuous delivery, continuous deployment? Okay. Okay. Very good. So let's create, and of course, you can have either select the web presence or you can do it from within Visual Studio. Doesn't matter. But from this point on, you have the option to create a new build definition. And let's call this my my manual build. don't need to guess what kind of trigger I'm going to use. It's already have the let's say the source control folder. Of course, when you have multiple parts and you have like a branching strategy, take good care and look at your source control mapping. I'll leave it for this at the moment. This is a little bit different from the on-premise, although this feature is now also in TFS 2013. But it says over here the output is copied to the server, not to a local path. We are in the cloud, and let's say ACLs on shared folders and whatever is a little bit difficult over there. So the deployment outcome so is now moved into the repository and made available to all the features which make use of it, like, for example, the whole test lab, the lab management capabilities. So it can look now in Visual Studio and deploy the items to, for example, a machine in your staging environment. And when you're executing automated tests, then it will know, let's say, which build it's currently using and what to trigger for that kind of test cases. So this is now part of your 2013 on-premise product as well. But this especially worthwhile for the cloud. I'll leave this as is, and also the retention policies, and let's trigger and build and see if we're successful over there as well. Now, while I'm doing this, a couple of these nice things which are part of Visual Studio TFS, one of them is add team favorites, so and add favorites, so you can do this within Visual Studio, and it will show up, let's say, as a same as a favorite tile on the home page of your project. You can do this for work item queries, and later on, when the results are coming in, you will start seeing, let's say, green or red bars appearing also on the favorites. Now the build is in the queue now. So let's see what it's doing. And in the meantime, I'll move over to our homepage. And over here, you can do the same thing. So we have pinned items and we have team favorites. In the past, in the recent past, when you added something to your team favorites, it automatically showed up on the homepage. So we now made a distinction between team favorites and pinned items. So you can go, for example, to code and say, I want to keep track of this. And then you can pin this to your homepage, or you can say, I want to add this to my team favorite, which it will show up here. But I can also pin it to the homepage. And in that sense, let's say all the changes will start appearing over here. So you're in control of your own dashboard. Same with the build. There is a build definition over here. I can pin this build definition to the homepage. And you'll see that my build is successful. It's already completed. The dashboard starts showing metrics about checked-in items, about recent builds. Think about your work items and also the work item charts, which are part of the dashboards. You can also now pin them on the homepage as well. So you can really create a rich dashboard. And same drag and drop functionality which you have with dragging a work item to the sprint. If you do not like the sequence, change the sequence, order them around, and you're in control of your own dashboard. Okay, so let's take a look. Our build has succeeded. So you'll see that also on the right over here, we have a similar experience with that you know, for example, what are the recent builds and how successful were they. And you can click on these items and then you will see the details behind it as well. So small feature, but really valuable. Okay, now, and of course, when you're working on a project, every now and then it makes sense to go into your backlog and then, let's say, move your items to the done stage. Now, I've not done this myself, yes, indirectly, but this is because I moved my item to the in-progress state in Visual Studio, which automatically it starts moving into this area, this swim lane. And when I checked in my code, the item was marked as resolved, which automatically moves it to the done. So this is also one of those options to let's say, have Visual Studio do things for you, or TFS do things for you. Okay, so we've done this, we've done that. Let's start looking at continuous deployment, which is also relatively easy to set up. We go to the management portal, and we'll see that this is the website we're working on, and we get the page, and over here it's already mentioning setup deployment from source control. So, and remember, within Visual Studio, we currently have one build definition. If we're going to do this, I can select Visual Studio Online and define my account. And I want to go to the and there you go. We now have hooked up Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure, the website to a continuous delivery pipeline all the way coming from Visual Studio Online. And if we move to Visual Studio and I refresh over here, you'll see we have a build definition added to the list. So we now have a web application. Now let's make a change and then we'll see how it gets deployed. So of course something in the user interface. So let me select not this one. Let me see, there is somewhere in here, it's something like application name, whatever. Over here, application name, let's call it. Apply my change, and then over here we see it, so update UI. Okay, so now what we will see is that my build is now queued, so I already executed the manual build, which is in the completed state. This build is now in the queue. And now we also see the third tab adding some content, showing some content. So we have queued, completed, deployed. So when you have deployed items to your target environment, they will show up here. And we will see that in a minute when things start deploying. That's one way of looking at it. If you're more on the Azure management portal and you want to see what's going on, that's also possible. Let's move over to the Azure management portal, because over here this is the dashboard of my application, and you'll see an item called deployments, and you see that's active now, currently deploying. So it's busy deploying my changes to my website. And of course, think about again about this when you're staging your environment and you want to have maybe like a test, a dev test acceptance staging protocol promotion. That is possible. You can create your environments over here and then promote the same build through the pipeline, and maybe even include, let's say, an added feature called release management from the 2030 product. Also, which the integration with Visual Studio Online is about to be announced or made available. Let's wait until the items are deployed, and then we'll move over to the next hub. Let's see how much time we have, about 13 minutes. Come on. Deploy. Questions in the meantime? No questions? Questions. Yes, there is the first things start to appear. I don't know if you've been to the keynote. Yeah? Erich Gamma and his team are working on Visual Studio Monaco, besides TypeScript and things like that. So Visual Studio Monaco are the first bits and pieces, and you can hook it up to this website also, and then you can use editing capabilities with IntelliSense and things like that in the browser. Move completely. Replace, no. Maybe have an experience in the cloud, yes. But we will not go from one. So we are for a hybrid solution, same with TFS. There are plenty of customers who want to do it within their own on-premise data center, and others want to explore the cloud. Yeah, we will support both. So we have an active deployment. You can view the log from here, and of course I don't know the URL. Out of what I can do is of course do this, and update my browser. And if everything is okay, then we should start seeing tech days. There we have it. So our change has been deployed. Okay, so let me. There you go. Let's also do a refresh over here. You'll see that also the deployed packages are presented, builds are presented in this view now as well. Let me go to the next hub, the test hub. Very quickly, but it shows you how to integrate with some other parts of Visual Studio. I can create a test plan. Let's call this our first sprint test plan, and I can then from here open this test plan in Microsoft Test Manager if I want to do it with a desktop experience, or you can use the browser to add items to your test plan in the browser. And we recently added also an item called shared parameters. So in test cases in Visual Studio, you could add data, iteration parameters, and they were contained within the test case. We now have made available a feature where you can more or less export them, same as with shared steps. You see that currently I'm now hooked up to Tech Days sprint number one. over here, it's very small letters, but it's part of this project. In my list of projects on the cloud. So again, this is how you're able to add, and then of course I can add requirements over here. Let's see what we have. We have explore. I can add this to my test plan and then start adding test cases, and then of course execute test cases and track the progress of the quality of my web application. Okay, let's, because we have about 9 minutes left, I want to show you the last part of the experience of Visual Studio Online, which is called Application Insights. So, as you remembered, within my project, there is also some there's already done some instrumentation to make your project ready to be used with Application Insights. So one of the things is that it shows this config file. Another one is that over here, and let me enlarge the font a little bit, but you'll see that there is a small portion of script added to the master template, and you can then it will instrument information back to the service. So when you start using, and let me move over to the portal, then things start to become much clearer what it can do. Now, currently, we're looking at Web Application 1, which is the one which I've created. Of course, there's not a lot available yet. The application has not been used at all. But let me move over to... let me first show you what you can do and make it easy, how to set it up. So you can navigate to these items. You can, for example, go to the Usage tab and select your application, so in this case application number one, and then with a few clicks define what type of application it is. So in this case it's a website, okay, and click here to ignore the configuration, and the same applies to, for example, for the users. Okay, it's a website and I want to ignore the configuration from then on, and here as well. And so you can set up your environment. Now let me move over to another, and then you get an idea about, let's say, what level of information. This is a same template, same project Visual Studio project template used, and you'll see what kind of information you get presented. So in this case, for example, over here, number of users, the active users, the authenticated users. Then you see the active accounts. Now, there's not a lot of activity on my application. The loyalty of your users. Are my users coming back to my site? So you see a very rich metrics becoming available. The features. What are the top pages presented, visited by your users? Page views. So I think you get the idea about how powerful this is. Because as I mentioned, you can, for example, see how your users are consuming your new functionality. Are you really adding value for your users? If the users are not adopting your new functionality, then you have to maybe do something about changing the user experience of your feature, or it's something else. But at least this gives you some more insights in what is going on, and you don't have to do a lot about it. This can also be used when your application is running on-premise. Yeah, so it's even more powerful. You have an item called, a little piece of software called the Microsoft Monitoring Agent, which you can install with your application. And then it provides the information back to the service. And then you get these valuable insights for your own application as well. Even mobile applications. So, and don't think about only Microsoft.net. It works with cross-platform technologies as well. Because who had the mindset that we are now in a completely Microsoft.net environment? No? Oh, a few. Okay. So Java, PHP, whatever, you can use this platform to develop your heterogeneous solution. Yeah? I have about 4 minutes left, and I have a few... Somebody's having a birthday, okay. Let me switch over to my slides. Slides will be given to the organization, so I think you can download this somewhere, but there's a URL. If you want to know a little bit more about experience from the team behind the product, not only how they made the shift from a boxed product every 2 years with a DVD to a frequently updated service, and also how they experience continuous delivery and agile, how they work in team rooms, and how they do, let's say, keep the organization informed. Take a look at this article. It's very interesting. And if you want to know more, you can always ping me. The other thing is, this is which I've presented you. Keep a track on what's updated every 3 weeks. And why would you want to use it? I think already in the beginning of my presentation, these are a few of the high-level advantages of using Visual Studio Online. And it's not a, let's say, black and white kind of thing over here. You can have some projects on premise. You can have some projects online, if that makes sense, if you want to collaborate with other people outside of your organization, or you can move between both of them and have them completely on premise or completely in the cloud. It's your choice, but you have that choice. Unlimited team projects, and keep in mind, private team projects. We have another service called CodePlex. They're public projects. So similar concept. Start collaborating on projects, but this is within the scope of from within the team. And the organization would like you to let us know how you thought about the event, about the session, what do you like, what do you dislike. So, and also a little bit of sponsoring for myself. On the top floor, we have a Visual Studio Lab. There's a unique, one-of-a-kind bicycle painted in purple. The only Visual Studio bike in the entire world. You can win it over there if you follow labs and answer some questions. So if you're a Visual Studio fan and like bicycling, visit the lab and maybe you go home with a nice bike. I want to thank you for your presence here. If people have questions, I'll be around. Or we have only 1 minute left. So one burning question? No burning questions? No? Okay, thank you.